If you're a hockey fan, you had to stay up late the other night if you wanted to see the end of the Stanley Cup playoff game between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tied at 2 goals apiece after 60 minutes of regulation, the game went into overtime. 5 overtimes, to be exact. It finally ended more than 6 hours after it started when Tampa Bay scored to win 3-2. Oh, if only anyone was there. Mike Pesca is here now as a sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. And Mike, what a shame. I mean, no banging on the plexiglass, no throwing of things on the ice. Nobody there.
Well, I guess some octopi were saved, although that's a Red Wing tradition, thrown on the ice. Yeah, when a game goes, as you know, more than 3 overtime periods, it really is 2 games since overtime periods in the playoffs are regulation. So they played 2.5 games. And what was amazing is that the goalie for the Columbus Blue Jackets, 83 saves. I mean, this is a week's work. This is a week and a half's work. You can't even, I can't even fathom that many saves. And then to lose the game based on that, it was such a long game that the, you know, since they're bubbling and all the teams play in one of two arenas spread throughout Canada, the next game had to be postponed because, of course, we already played 2 games right beforehand.
Well, can't they figure out a way to do this without so many overtimes or no? Is that just locked in?
I do like in baseball that they have a new rule with a player on second base to speed things along. But I think overtime playoff hockey goes well together. The stakes are high. No one is just wanting to get out of there. I think it is a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. Oh, so the NHL, the NBA, and WNBA, all in bubbles. But the Kentucky Derby may run with a few thousand fans. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says he expects his team will play this year with fans in the stands. And then you've got former Notre Dame coach Lou Holtz, who compared college football to one of the most selfless moments of World War II, saying when they stormed Normandy, they knew there were going to be casualties. They knew there were going to be risks, as if, you know, he's saying to college students, hey, you know, be like those troops and take this risk. Are we going to see sporting events this calendar year? Big ones like that?
Yeah, not an overwrought analogy at all. And of course, the soldiers who stormed Normandy were paid, unlike college football players. We are already seeing some sports with fans. They played a couple MLS games and scattered throughout the stadium were a couple thousand fans. I don't know. Jerry Jones is going to bluster and be a showman. So maybe his statements were an indication of hope over experience, over how Texas is experiencing the pandemic. We might see some fans scattered throughout, but I don't think that that would or should be the priority.
Yeah, but college football, there's supposed to be two major conferences later this month, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, but they're canceled. College football has almost more of an emotional tie to some people. Do you think the other big college football conferences will play?
Right now, there's a regional split. So Pac-12, as the name would indicate, is on the West Coast. And the Big Ten is a Midwestern conference. And the Big East, which is a smaller conference, they've canceled too. So those are the places where the states in general have had spread and containment. And to a large degree, they're managing their containment. When we talk about the SEC or the Big 12, these are Southern conferences, and so the spread of the disease has progressed differently. But also the politics there are different, and I dare say that the I'm not going to insult a Michigan or Ohio State fan, but in SEC country in the Southeast, football is a little bit more important than sports. So I guess they are going to try to hang on, but as has frequently been shown, the virus does not care about regional loyalties, does not care about the coaches' poll or the AP poll. The virus is the virus, and if players start coming down with it, and some are, I don't see how these conferences can say, we're going to go ahead when we're putting our players at risk who aren't paid. And also, we are part of a college community. We're going to have, totally different rules for our student-athletes. They're very proud to call them student-athletes. They're going to live in a different set of circumstances than the rest of the students. That will be hard to do emotionally. That will be a hard argument to make. I think it's definitely clear they want to do this. I don't know if they can.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick. The president was on Fox Sports Radio this week. He was asked about the NFL. I'll synopsize. He says they want to open badly. They've been working with the government. But if they don't stand for the national anthem, I hope they don't open. He was on for more than 20 minutes. He seemed especially upset with the NBA. What did he say?
Yeah, he was on the Clay Travis show, and he knows that, well, he tries to make hay with picking a fight on these cultural issues of standing for the anthem, and he said he didn't care for that. He also called for college football to play again and made some medically irresponsible statements about how the virus doesn't affect strong, healthy players. There are many instances of no college players dying from it, but apparently getting a very serious sickness, and including heart diseases. And this isn't a college player, but, you know, Red Sox pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, his life's going to be affected by the heart ailments that he got in conjunction with coronavirus. So
the
Clay Travis, a friendly forum for Donald Trump to say essentially what he has been saying about the virus, and it isn't always accurate.
Okay. Mike Pesca, thanks so much.